Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave.
Good morning. He is risen. Now, I'm sure there's going to be about a 30-second delay between you hearing that and me saying it, but we're all good. We had a couple of technical difficulties this morning, but it doesn't matter. None of that compares to the joy that we have, for our Savior, Jesus Christ, is risen from the grave. Last year, we had the opportunity to, some of us took part in a sunrise service where Dan Puckett preached out at the corner of Bakertown Road and US 12. And I grew up in a tradition that sunrise service was very important, but I never really understood why. As I grew older and as I started to read the Bible for myself, I started to read in the Gospels where one of the Gospel authors records Mary Magdalene and some other ladies going to the grave before dawn, and so it was still dark, and then another Gospel author records them as going very early at dawn. So the idea being that when they left their house, when they left their home to go take care of the body of Jesus, it was still completely dark out, but by the time they got to the tomb, the sun had been coming up. And so that's the inspiration for the tradition of having a sunrise service. So I'm thankful that those of you who are joining me right now are able to join me. I thank God also for the technology that we have that allows us to record this message so that those who are not joining us right now can listen a little while later. It is Resurrection Sunday. This is the most important event in the entirety of Christianity, the day that Jesus rose from the grave. And you know, he told his disciples that this was going to happen, and yet they didn't understand. And I think that's significant to us because we're living 2,000 years later, and there are still times where we don't understand exactly what God is doing. And we might have anxiety or fear or just be distressed, wondering why God is allowing certain things. And yet, he's predicted that life isn't going to be easy. Life is going to be tough. But he still has things in control. So I just want to talk for a little while about the fact that once God tells us something, we can believe that that promise is true. We can believe that it's going to come to pass. No matter what it is that God says, it will come to pass. So when Jesus rose from the dead, the ladies show up at the tomb, and there's angels present there. And here's what they say to the ladies. Remember what he told you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. He isn't here. He has risen, just like he said. Remember, back in Matthew chapter 16, we started talking about this when we started this Mission Resurrection series. The idea that Jesus had been telling everyone, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in Matthew chapter 16, it says, from that time on, Jesus began to teach that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer at the hands of the chief priests and elders, die, and then rise again. And you remember their reaction to it, especially Peter's reaction to it was, we're never going to let this happen to you. Their expectation was that the Christ was going to come and he was going to reign. He was going to rule. So this couldn't possibly happen the way that he was saying. And yet Jesus predicted multiple times that he was going to have to die and then rise again. I think that they got so fixed on the die part that they missed the most important thing, which was the rise again. The die part is significant because without it, he couldn't pay for our sins. But the rise from the dead part is significant because if he had just died and was still in the grave, we would have no proof that his sacrifice was acceptable to God. And yet he did rise from the dead. So we know that his sacrifice was acceptable. We know that if we place our trust in him, we don't have to worry about the future because we become children of God and we have eternal life. So the angel said to them, "He is not here. He is risen." Later, Jesus was walking down the road to Emmaus with two of his disciples. And they were sad because they didn't understand what was happening. They didn't understand that Jesus had risen from the dead. They knew that he had died and they knew that his body was gone, but they didn't understand that he had risen from the dead. And yet this man appears to them and starts talking to them and asks them why they're so upset. And they say, this Jesus that we were hoping was going to redeem Israel, he died. And not knowing that they were talking to Jesus, his response to them was, "Foolish people and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Didn't the Christ have to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" And then Luke puts this note, "Beginning at Moses and from all the prophets, he explained to them the scriptures concerning himself." So Jesus explained the Old Testament things that talked about him. So later in the day, the apostles are all locked away in a room. I've heard multiple times this week, the churches are empty today, but so is the tomb. And that's what we praise God for. You know, after Jesus was crucified, all of his disciples scattered, and then several of them came together in an upper room just to hide together. So later in the day, they're in this upper room, and they're all locked away, and Jesus appears to them. And here's what he says. "These are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then there's a note that says, "He opened their minds to understand the scripture." So even after saying to them, "I've got to go to Jerusalem, I've got to suffer, I've got to die, I've got to rise from the dead," he said that multiple times to them, they still didn't get it. Even after he had risen from the dead, even as he stood in front of them and appeared to them, they still didn't understand what God's purpose in all of this was. And so finally, he opens their minds to understand the scriptures. And this is what he told them. "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and in his name, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You will be witnesses of this." And then he tells them, "Stay in Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit." Now, Jesus stays with them 40 days until what we call the Ascension. Right at the Ascension, he gives them what we call the Great Commission. That's our authorization, our responsibility to go into the world and tell people about Jesus. So here's what the Great Commission says. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." Now, Jesus was about to ascend into heaven to be at the right hand of the Father, but he wanted his disciples to know that he wasn't leaving them alone. In fact, earlier in the Gospel of John, he says, "I'm not leaving you orphans." He said, "It's to your advantage that I leave, that the Holy Spirit might come." So he tells them that they are going to now, because they've been eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection, now they're going to be witnesses to the whole world. It's a complete changing of things. And he says, "You're going to be my witnesses even till the end of the age." Now, the apostles all died, but they passed on their words in the scriptures to us. And so we know that if we place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're forgiven of our sins and have eternal life. We know that if we share the message with someone and they believe, they become a child of God and they receive eternal life. And that's our great commission now. He says, even to the end of the age. And we're still waiting for that end of the age. And we don't know when it's going to happen. But the apostles were so interested in this end of the age thing that even on the last day before he went back to sit at the right hand of the Father, they were still asking questions about it. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "So when they came together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?'" Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They still had that expectation that right around the corner from now, God is going to set up his kingdom and he's going to make everything right. All tears are going to be wiped away. This is going to be heaven on earth, right? And including the Old Testament prediction that Messiah, when he comes, is going to reign on the throne of David. They anticipated that that was all going to happen now. And yet Jesus says to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that my Father has set. So, has fixed by his own authority. But then he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. And we've been witnesses now. Christians have been witnesses of Jesus' resurrection for 2,000 years. We still wait for that day when God makes everything right. After Jesus ascends back into heaven, two angels appear and they say to the disciples, "Why do you stand looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you up into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven." Now, he went into heaven, and other scripture tells us that he's now seated at the right hand of the Father, and that he's going to be at the right hand of the Father from that time. Remember, that phrase, "from that time," is so significant. It signifies that from the Old Testament prophets to John the Baptist, and then there's a period of time from John the Baptist and Jesus preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," until Jesus starts to teach that he has to go to the cross and die and rise from the dead. And then in the book of Hebrews, there's another "from that time." And the "from that time" that it mentions in the book of Hebrews says that he will sit at the right hand of the Father until it's time for his enemies to be made a footstool. Now, Jesus promised beforehand that he was going to suffer, but then that he was going to rise from the dead. And his apostles had a hard time believing it. You may be a person who is having a hard time believing that Jesus is coming back. But I just want to assure you that everything that Jesus has promised comes to pass. When he promises that he's going to rise from the dead, he rises from the dead. When he promises the apostles that the Holy Spirit's going to come, the Holy Spirit comes. When he promises that we're going to have a great comforter, we have the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. Everything Jesus promises eventually comes to pass. It may not come to pass exactly in our timeline, exactly when we want it to happen, but it all comes to pass. And so we wait even today, as we go through these hard times right now, where we can't be together, right? The churches are empty, but so is the tomb. Where we can't be together worshiping, where we can't see loved ones and we miss them, or friends, or we can't go to our jobs and find the fulfillment and satisfaction that we have in those things. Even as we're enduring all of that, we can still cling to that promise that one day he's going to make everything right. And that's where we need to be. In fact, the more we cling to that promise, the more we are his witnesses. It just changes us. It changes the way we look at the world. It changes our heart for other people. It just changes us. So as we remember Jesus Christ having risen from the dead, let us also remember that we're on the winning side. Jesus said, "No one can come to the Father but through me." The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that God is faithful in his promises. So let's tell the world that one day our risen Savior is returning. Amen? I want to play a song for you that Pastor Andy chose. It talks about the idea that inside of us is the Holy Spirit of God. And we have that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave living inside of us. And then I'll come back and pray for us. Just as Jesus endured the cross on our behalf and rose from the dead to prove that he had conquered death. God has placed his spirit inside of us. And because of that, we are more than conquerors, the book of Romans says. Whatever you're going through right now, whether it's this lockdown or poor health or whatever it is, you can handle it. The Holy Spirit of God is inside of you. You've got this. Okay? Let me pray for you. And thank you for joining us this Resurrection Sunday. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this day where we remember that your Son Jesus rose from the dead just as he said he would. Father, we pray that you would strengthen us, give us comfort by your Holy Spirit, help us to do your will. Help us to find ways, even now, even in isolation, to be able to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around this world, that others might have that same faith that we have, that same resurrection power living inside of them, Lord. We know that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in you will not perish but have everlasting life. And we are so thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for that promise. We're thankful that you raised him from the dead. And we're all part of one body, the family of God, the body of Jesus Christ. We thank you on this Resurrection Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining me. Have a wonderful rest of your Resurrection Sunday. I love you, and I'll see you soon.